Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Neil, do you guys have an update on Keone Kella, whether he might be available today?
Yeah, he felt a little tightness last night, had a hard time getting loose, and just made the smart decision that probably time to come out of that game. We'll assess him today, assess him tomorrow. I think we'll stay away from him today and just see where we're at. Again, further assessment today and tomorrow. And see where we are on Tuesday. We have the off day, extra man in the bullpen. We should be in a decent spot.
Is there any concern just because he does have a little bit of a history of shoulder issues?
Anytime. Anytime a pitcher doesn't feel right, you've got to be aware of it. He'd thrown the ball so well his last handful of outings, and the velocity was back. Velocity was down first couple pitches last night. Guys have stretches where they just don't feel great, and he did the right thing last night.
Do you feel the need at this point to go look for any starting depth, whether it's in your organization or somewhere else?
Well, I mean, you never have enough pitching. We talk about that repeatedly. I think we've also talked about in the past there's like a percent and a half of trades are made in April and the other percent and a half are made in May. It's a tough time to go get players from outside your organization. Brubaker's injury has chipped away at our depth. Mitch Keller is making great strides. His last two starts are really, really reasons for us to continue to be optimistic about Mitch. Made a minor adjustment and just locked that in, and at some point he'll be available for us. We're going to have to go with Broughton Kingham, and we'll get Chris Archer back as soon as his body allows him to come back. Jameson will be back out there in a while. But we're going to have to figure out a way to cover those nine innings. It may be a little bit non-traditional in how we cover it. We'll carry 13 pitchers for the majority of this time, I would think, given that we've got 26 games in 27 days. And we're going to have to battle and continue to be resilient.
Do you have a best-case scenario for Archer?
Best case scenario is he continues to feel good. I mean, people forget that when a pitcher's down, there's build back up again. It's not like he can just jump back out and throw 110 pitches. So he's going through his throwing program. Next step is a side, and then we'll determine from there how quickly he's able to bounce back.
So at least 10 days?
I don't want to say 10 days because it might be shorter and it might be longer. We'll see how the thumb recovers.
What did Keller lock in?
He's added a little bit of a slider cutter type pitch, and he's gaining some confidence in it and gaining some willingness to use it in some key situations. It's another pitch that he can use for a strike. It's another pitch he can use to get off the barrel, a little bit like Jameson added his and Nick added his. It's another weapon for these guys, and especially the guys with the big curveball. The curveball is seen, even the good ones are seen out of the hand early, so it's another pitch that they can use to a velocity pitch that they can use to get off barrels.
If he continues to pitch well, do you think it's inevitable that he'll be up here at some point this summer?
I don't know, inevitable is a strong word for it, but our hope is that he'll be ready to come up and help us win games, sure.
I'd imagine you don't want to rush in while he's essentially reworking his arsenal at this point too, right, with the open spots.
Yeah, and again, with Reynolds and Tucker up here, we're out of our comfort zone enough with guys without a ton of AAA experience being up, and in Reynolds' case, he's hit the ground running. In Cole's case, I mean, he's doing the very best he can, and both are great young men. Mitch is a great young man, but yes, the addition of the slider is going to cause us to be a bit more patient. To let him lock this in and utilize it as a weapon. Jameson Taillon adding it at the major league level is a one in a thousand. It's not the way we typically want to do things, but he was up here and felt like he needed to add the pitch, and he's so smart and has such great aptitude that he was able to do it on the fly. We'll let Mitch lock in some things in AAA before we start asking him to come up here.
You know, something that Clint mentioned was, I mean, considering Jung Ho's struggles, you're kind of in uncharted territory, though, because he's been away for a year and a half. Not many players do that. What do you guys do? What do you look to when you're trying to figure out a plan to kind of game plan his way out of this?
Yeah, as we talked at the time of signing and multiple times in spring training, this is a wild card. Unfortunately, so far the wild card has been on the wrong end, and not the guy that we thought had a chance to come up and hit 30 home runs with us, and he's continued to play good defense. Mm-hmm. The other challenge we have with Gong is historically, whether it was last year or when he was rehabbing the knee injury, he's not been good in AAA. But he was terrible in AAA, came back to the big leagues and homered twice in his first major league game and rolled from there when he was coming back from the knee injury. So to say we just need to go get at bats, that may not be that simple. We're working through with him. I know Rick and Jacob continue to work with him on his mechanics and his timing and his approach. You still see the power, but it has. It's been a challenge for sure.
He has options. Is there any? Does it reach a point though where you think you start to think AAA, even given the history of that, or?
I mean, to take a player like Pablo Reyes, for a young player to get back on track, playing part-time at the major league level is a really hard thing to do, and that's why we ultimately flipped Newman and Reyes yesterday was let's let Pablo go get regular at-bats and go get a cluster of regular at-bats and see if we can get him back on track because he's a good player when he's playing well. It's hard for young players to play off the bench. So in theory at some point, but right now the focus is getting Gong on track here.
You've sustained some quite a few injuries so far this year, but you've still managed to be at 500. The difference being it hasn't been your starting pitching, which we all knew was going to be your fortress. You know, this leg is going to be your best attribute. So are you at all concerned more now about having these injuries pinch the starting pitching since that was your go-to this year?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what this club's gone through. We haven't had an at-bat from our regular left fielder. Our regular right fielder missed the month of the season. The guy that we signed to be our regular right fielder, where our regular right fielder was on the IL, hasn't taken an at-bat. We've lost our starting shortstop to a broken collarbone. We've had a catcher on the IL all year long. We've got two regulars hitting under 175. We've got three relievers that we were really counting on with ERAs over five. We've lost a bunch of late leads. We lost eight in a row, and we're sitting here at 500. I mean, that's a recipe for a 10-20 team, and so this club has continued to be resilient. A big part of it has been the starting pitching, but we're going to have to figure out a way to score more runs. We're going to have to figure out a way to cover those nine innings and keep our opponents' run totals down. Trevor Williams and Musgrove Nick Kingham and Stephen Brawl are going to have to step up, and we're going to have to cover some innings in the middle, and it's going to be a challenge. But we've already faced a ton of adversity, and this club continues to fight and find its way to 500 and now hopefully push above it.
How much do you pay attention to what Tyler Glasnow's doing in Tampa, and how much do you pay attention to what Clint said yesterday about how, as an organization, sometimes you want to kind of go over everything and make sure you didn't miss something along the way? I mean, how much is that kind of one of those things that you look inward and say, you know, hope we didn't get this wrong?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, we've got probably a dozen plus pitchers that we've acquired from other organizations that have either bounced back or have had career bests here. And so we've been on the other end of that several times. And we knew we were giving up two, three really talented prospects for Chris Archer. We felt Chris Archer was going to help push this club ahead earlier. We knew that those guys had ceilings. We knew that there was a chance they would reach them. Give Tampa Bay credit, give these young men credit. They've reached their ceiling quicker than we certainly anticipated. And, you know, watching Tyler the 2.5 years struggle at the big league level, we knew it was in there. We just weren't having the luck of getting it out that we'd had with, again, a dozen plus other pitchers. And it seems to have clicked for him. And people miss in baseball trades. Neither GM goes into the trade hoping to fleece the other team. When fleecing trades happen, it's more often because a player takes a step forward or a player doesn't, or the player regresses. But you want to make good baseball trades. You want both teams to benefit from trades. And we knew Tampa was getting significant ceiling. We were getting what we believe to be a now front-of-the-rotation pitcher to pair with Jameson Taillon that we thought would help us compete. And Tyler stepped up quickly. And we knew it was in there. And we just weren't able to get it out of him here the way we'd done with so many times before.
In terms of Archer, what has he brought to the organization aside from the wins and losses and everything? What do you feel like you got in that trade in return?
Yeah, I mean, we've got at the day of the trade, we thought we were getting a top of the rotation starter to pair with Jameson for 3+ years. We felt like we were getting a competitor and a good man that was going to add to the community, was going to add to the clubhouse, and was going to add to our win total. And we still are thrilled that we have Chris Archer. and Jameson going down is going to make Chris Archer's return important as well. But we're also going to need the other guys to step up. And again, thrilled for those guys. Tip of the cap to them to for the adjustments that they've made. Tip of the cap to Tampa to figure out how to get them to make those adjustments. And if you are afraid to trade players that are going to be good elsewhere, then you're never going to trade as a general manager, and that's not a good way to go about it either.
When you make trades, and this is obviously one that's way too soon to judge, but at what point do you sit back and judge a trade? I mean, how many years do you wait? Is it a year, 3 years? I mean, at what point do you look at a trade and whether you want to call it a win or a loss?
I don't think we ever look back and look for trades, wins and losses. We look back and identify what played out the way we anticipated it, what didn't, and then why on both fronts, and what lesson can we learn from that.
Is there a time frame that you do that on, that where you feel like, okay, we're in a safe space where we've got the results where they have, you know, one way or the other?
I don't know that there's ever a distinct point in time, but it's an ongoing process, and there's been several trades and several situations where it seems like it's heavily weighted in one direction, and you look up 2 years later and it's heavily weighted in another direction. There are times where the player that a club feels is important but no one else seems to turns out to be the best player in the trade. There are times where this guy's a can't miss and does. So it's a really interesting process. Again, it's part of the job. You have to be willing to take some chances, and we make the best possible decisions for what we believe to be the best possible reasons, and move forward and learn from what went well and learn from what didn't go well.
You used the phrase out of your comfort zone with Reynolds before, and you know, some of the young guys that you've rushed up. The flip of that, though, is you've gotten some really good production that seems to spark people. Is that at all weigh into what you're talking about with Keller? Like, maybe you can channel that again with him if you were to bring him up at some point?
Again, we're not opposed to bringing Mitch before we think he's ideally ready. The challenge is he's it'd be like bringing a hitter up when he's in the middle of a mechanical change. Now's not the right time to do that. He's had two really good starts. Prior to that, the starts hadn't been very good. Reynolds and Tucker had been playing really well in AAA. So we've shown a willingness to do it. We'll show a willingness to do it with the right situation moving forward. Just now's not the right time.
You know, scoring's been up quite a bit in AAA since they changed the baseball this year. Does that reflect, too, when you start to evaluate pitchers and their statistics as compared to maybe other years in AAA?
It's going to make things a lot more challenging, especially as we look at projection models and we look at kind of understanding what will play at the next level. We talk repeatedly about the gap between AAA and big leagues being as big as it's ever been in terms of talent and the ability to transition and what AAA performance really means when it comes to projected major league performance. And on the one hand, they're playing with the same baseball now, which should make it a little bit easier. On the other hand, we've got 1 month of data, and the 1 month of data seems to be pretty clear that the ball is jumping.
You know, speaking of the minor leagues, we see the numbers are covering the big leagues. There's a chance to watch them. But just what do you make of just the season that he's been able to put together in terms of power numbers, and how much did being in big league camp benefit?
Yeah, Will is maturing into a really good hitter with power. Again, coming out of the draft, it was that guy who drove the ball gap to gap, allowed pitchers to make mistakes because he had patience and discipline, but also saw the raw power, tapped into the raw power last year at the expense of the hitter, and now we're working to get him back to where he understands that he can be a really good hitter with power, much like Josh Bell is turning into up here right now.
Is he first baseman long-term? You drafted him as a third baseman. Is he first base?
Yeah, he's equipping himself well at first, and I understand the immediate next step is, well, what are you going to do when you have two first basemen? We hope to have six at some point in time. You want six shortstops and six catchers. That means you're in a good spot as an organization. So when Will forces us to make a decision, we'll either have a very good player that we can use to acquire a very good player, or who knows where the game will be in 2 years. So.
How encouraged are you by Reynolds' start to his big league career? Do you see him as an everyday player?
Well, we have since the day we traded for him. We saw him as a really good major league player. Thought that it would take a bit longer, given the missed time last year with the hamate and the fact that he had 50 plate appearances when we called him up. Thought he would help us at some point this summer, his ability to switch hit, play all three outfield positions. We felt like he's going to be a really good major league player. And 11 games in, he's shown to be a good one. it's a long time. We also remember Gregory Polanco was a really good player for his first 11 games, and by the end of the season we were playing Travis Snyder. So the league makes adjustments, and Gregory's made the adjustments, and Brian's a smart guy and is going to have to make those adjustments as well.
Neil, is it a big enough sample size to say what you saw from Josh Bell last year maybe won't happen again this year given what we've seen from him now?
Well, I think we just look at the history of the game and the number of players that have a really strong rookie season and then are challenged in their second season. There's a sophomore slump. There's a name for it.
I don't want to use the term, but yeah.
but there's a name for it, and cliches are cliches for a reason because they tend to play out over time, and the sophomore slump is real, and Josh went through it last year. The league made adjustments, and when he would make an adjustment, the league would make another adjustment quickly to him, and he was challenged to stay at that level. They're going to make an adjustment again this year, and how quickly can he make an adjustment back? And that's why pitchers are home runs are up, but pitchers are dominating with the strikeout rates and things like that because they can make an adjustment quicker than a hitter can make an adjustment. But Josh, again, is so hardworking. He's very intelligent. He's driven to continue this level of success he's had. September was a really good month for him last year, and he's continued that as we've gotten into May here so far this year.
Do you see Newman making more of a contribution than just off the bench? And when that happens, where would it be? What position?
Yeah, I mean, he's a shortstop, and we're pleased with Cole's ability to survive at this point in time. Again, Brian Reynolds has come up and thrived. Cole's come up and answered a very important question that we needed, who was going to play short while Gonzalez was down and while Newman was down, and Cole's done a nice job there. Kevin, we still have all the confidence in the world that he'll be a good Major League shortstop, and I don't want to say timeshare, but Kevin's there to help protect Cole. We're playing 26 games in 27 days. Kevin's very good against left-handed pitching, so you might see a little bit of a timeshare there. I want to say platoon, but Kevin Newman's going to still play a meaningful role for this club. If we get back to five bench players or role players at some point because the pitching's settled, you could see Pablo Reyes back up here, or if Kevin Newman's not playing a whole lot, you could see a flip out of Pablo and Kevin. But Kevin's going to play a meaningful role for us, and we just need to make sure that we keep young players growing and developing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.